Welcome to the Alphaville Journal of Film and Screen Media podcast. Episode 4 for issue 19, Performing the Intermedial Across Brazilian Cinema. This roundtable discussion with Flavia Cesarino Costa, Marcella Amaral, Matheus Siqueira, and Albert Alduque is moderated and introduced by the co-editor of this issue, Tamara Courage. This recording took place through an international Zoom roundtable discussion that brought together researchers in Brazil, Canada, and Spain on the 5th of July 2020.
Good morning, afternoon, and good evening to everyone joining us through Zoom from Brazil, Canada, and Spain. I am Tamara Courage with Albert Alduque. We are the co-editors of issue 19 of the Alphaville Journal of Film and Screen Media, called Performing the Intermedial Across Brazilian Cinema. This issue brings together articles, interviews, and an audiovisual essay that are concerned with the performance of the intermedial in Brazilian cinema through music performance. It is an output of the Intermedia Project, whose complete name is Towards an Intermedial History of Brazilian Cinema, Exploring Intermediality as a Historiographic Method, a shared endeavor by the University of Reading and the Federal University of São Carlos, funded by the Arts and Humanities Research Council in the UK and the São Paulo Research Foundation in Brazil. The Intermedia Project was developed between 2015 and 2019, and explored ways in which Brazilian cinema has consistently made connections with other media at specific historical moments. It includes research on silent film prologues, musical comedies, the impact of Tropicália visual arts in cinema, and recent music documentaries, among other topics. Today we are thrilled to welcome some of the co-investigators of the project and authors of this special issue. Flavia Cesarino Costa is a professor of film history and theory at Federal University of São Carlos and co-investigator of the aforementioned Intermedia Project. She currently researches Brazilian cinema and its connections with other media until the 1950s. She has provided two contributions to this issue. First is an article titled Building an Integrated History of Musical Numbers in Brazilian Chanchadas. Second is an audiovisual essay co-authored with Professor John Gibbs entitled Chanchadas and Intermediality on the Musical Numbers of Aviso aos Navegantes by Watson Macedo. Marcella Amaral holds a PhD from Rio de Janeiro State University. As part of her research, which focused on contemporary cinema and realism, film aesthetics, and mise-en-scène, she spent 7 months as a visiting researcher at the University of Reading. She has had a long career in the film and television industries, working as an editor, an assistant director, and film and TV director in Brazil. In this issue, her article is titled Realistic Intermediality and the Historiography of the Present. Matheus Siqueira is a film researcher and filmmaker. He began creating video for the internet and later directed commercials and music videos in São Paulo. Currently, he's a lecturer in film theory at the Adventist University of São Paulo. His article for this Alphaville issue is titled Vincent Moon in Between Brazil, an Oral Approach to Intermediality. Albert Alduque has recently completed a postdoc at the University of Reading, where he was part of the Intermedia Project. His current research is on contemporary Brazilian films on music, focusing on the representation of the musical traditions of the country in recent fictions and documentaries. He is co-editor of the journal Comparative Cinema, published by the Pompeu Fabra University. In addition to his contribution as co-editor of this special issue, Albert is also here with us to discuss his article, Documentary Shooting in Samba, Technology and Mediation in Leon Hirschman's Partido Alto. Thank you all for being here. Flavia, in your article, you focus on chanchadas, and you make this connection between carnival culture and Brazilian cinema. What are chanchadas?
Chanchada was, I would say it was a derogatory epithet created by film critics. It refers to a body of films made between the 1930s and 50s that featured comic plots interspersed with musical numbers that disrupted the coherence of the narrative world. So Chanchada's work criticized for its lack of connection between the musical numbers and the plot. But what I argue is that this is not a problem, but a structural feature that shows the supremacy of other media over Chanchada, the supremacy of radio over cinema in Brazilian mass culture. So I studied the musical numbers because I believe they have an intermediate quality that wasn't already explored, and they reflect complex interactions between theatrical reviews, or teatro de revista, as we say, radio, the record industry as big things, and the cinema as a little thing inside this. So the engine of music production based on carnival moved also the production of chanchadas. I do not believe in film specificity as a proper approach to understand the chanchadas. So I focus my research on specific films to find in them traces of the circulation of these other media, theatrical practices, the carnival culture, the music industry, and radio performances. So in doing this, I need to reconsider these long-standing historical assumptions on the specificity of film medium. I don't believe in it. So I researched on the main theatrical reviews being staged and on radio hits being broadcasted and sold during the same time of the production of specific films of the 50s. And I was amazed by how the singers, actors, and comedians of these chanchadas participated in all these other activities at the same time and were also reported intensely by a huge star system. So I discovered, I would say, remarkable similarities and aesthetical borrowings in the scenery, in the choreography and casting of films from these other cultural practices. And this is what I study in the musical numbers.
And how would you describe the collaborative process and outcomes of making a video essay with John Gibbs?
It's interesting because John is an expert on video essays, and I'm not, definitely. So what I did, I have showed him my research, and he transformed magically all that theoretical explanation to images and short sentences and produced reasoning made with images. But at the same time, we decided that I should also narrate in dialogue with moving images. So it's not exactly a video essay like a poetical video essay. It's more like a narrative explaining questions. So we produce like many versions, and my English was terrible, so I was perfecting my English, and I think the big challenge was to explain to John the importance of carnival and music for understanding the images. And I think I was happy with the final result after all, but it was a very slow process of exchanging images and words and concepts. It was very interesting. I want to study much more about video essay because it's the language of the future in academic studies.
Albert, what was Cinema Novo and its political connection to samba?
Well, Cinema Novo was a movement of cinema that appeared in Brazil in the late 1950s and 1960s, 1970s. And in Cinema Novo, filmmakers were very politically engaged. They wanted to do a cinema that represented the Brazilian people, so people that had been marginalized or misrepresented in Brazilian media. People, for example, living in very poor areas in the country or living in the slums in the city. And for this reason, a cinema novel wanted to tell the stories of these people. They championed the cultural expressions from these people. So they championed the cultural expressions from lower class communities. And samba was one of these cultural expressions. Traditionally, samba had been produced by the descendants of slaves in the slums of big cities. For example, Rio de Janeiro, but not only Rio de Janeiro. But then the samba songs had been popularized by white singers in the radio and in the recording industry. So while the songwriters, while the samba songwriters were the descendants of slaves, so they were black or mixed race, and they remained like unknown and marginalized, the singers of the samba songs became, who were white, they became famous and important and rich. So in the history of samba, there is this important inequality, this important contradiction. So Cinema Novo was very interested in highlighting that or in talking about that. So there were a lot of some varieties of samba which were commercialized. For example, the samba for carnivals, it had been commercialized for decades. But there were some other varieties of samba which weren't as popular or weren't, they hadn't been commodified yet in the 1960s and 70s. And in the mid-70s, Leon Hirschman, who was one of the most important filmmakers in the Cinema Novo movement, decided to make a documentary film about one of these varieties of samba which hadn't been commercialized and commodified, which was Partido Alto. Partido Alto was based on improvisation and was practiced in the slums. So Leon Hirschman, with the advice of a very important singer and songwriter, who is Paulinho da Viola, he went to the slums in Rio de Janeiro to record and to film some performances of Partido Alto. Then what happened? That, well, Partido Alto is improvised, so you never know who will sing the next line. So the camera in the film and the microphones try to film, try to record what is happening there, but they cannot follow the rhythm of the performance because they don't know who will sing the next line. So the film has a lot of technical inaccuracies. So there is like a clash, like a struggle, almost like a struggle, like an intermedial clash, an intermedial struggle between the improvisation of a popular art form, which is Partido Alto, and technologies, the ways in which the camera and the microphone try to record it. And this clash between improvisation, between popular culture and improvisation on the one hand and technology on the other, chimes with that, with those inequalities of the history of samba that I mentioned before.
And Marcela, your work focuses on contemporary filmmaker Beto Brandt and his film O Invasor. I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about how he uses hip-hop music to connect the audience to Brazilian culture.
Well, I think hip-hop is interesting to talk about hip-hop itself because it's kind of a megaphone, social megaphone. It gives voices to the periphery, and it has very important roots in São Paulo's culture. Beto Brandt, actually, was one of the directors in a movement named the New Brazilian Cinema. He was one of these young directors bringing fresh air and new themes, new issues, and new aesthetics to Brazilian cinema, not only new, but sometimes renew, you know, like really rereading old aesthetics. That's because Brazil had a hiatus of around 5 years with no production, where we didn't produce anything. And this new generation, let's say this way, brought a lot of fresh air to Brazilian film production. And I think Beto Brandt and other filmmakers were very concerned with portraying Brazilian social issues, you know, in the films. And also with this very realistic appeal these films bring, this is very interesting because it's very particular from this cinema. It's called New Brazilian Cinema, but I mean, like, it's not, a movement, but it's more like, you know, a moment in Brazilian cinema. So, O Invasor, the film, the in English would be The Trespasser, is a film where he makes the social portrait, where he tries to portray two different socioeconomic experiences. I mean, the Brazilian elite, São Paulo's elite, and the periphery. And music plays a very important part in this portrait, because while I just said that hip hop is a social megaphone, and in the film, it's not only, it does not only characterize a social status, but it also adds tension to the film, because the music plays this important role also to differentiate the classes. You know, you have different kinds of music, different genres, and I think hip hop has this more important role, because it brings tension, it brings the periphery to the screen. And also Beto made a choice which I think is very important, so I would highlight actually three very important elements or choices made by him to paint this picture of Brazilian society. I think he uses music as a very important element to do so, you know, to paint the portrait, the contrast between the classes. And he also chooses to film on location. This is very important. And also using like a loose camera, let's say. It's a camera most basically on over the shoulder. It's kind of free to walk around. And what we see in the images of the film are images that are not that, they're usually continuous, you know, continuous shots, a continuous register of the space, of the geography. So most of them have no cut. Sometimes he makes some cut and insert, but the thing is, you can see the camera floating, like, you know, the fluidity of the camera invading the spaces. But when he's portraying the elite, he's going to very specific spaces, and the camera seems to obey to this very prepared and you know, mise-en-scene. But when he, you know, we see the periphery, actually, for the first time in the film, when he presents to us the periphery, we have a totally different perception of it. It's so much closer to a documentary, you know. You see many images of a very huge favela in São Paulo. You can see people on the outside, old ladies. There's a guy with a parrot on his shoulder. He uses this, what I say is an oscillation between these two forms, you know, fiction and documentary, to also differentiate the classes, you know, because I think there is this clash is very important for the production of realism in the film. One scene I would like to cite here is when Sabotage comes to scene and he presents his hip hop repertoire to a couple of white men, you know, and they're like, what's gonna, and his gestures are not the gestures of a hip-hop mise-en-scene only, but are protest gestures, and the camera goes along, the camera follows him, you know, and you know that's not part of a very rehearsed mise-en-scene, it's part of what Sabotage presents as his protest. So I call it the realism of confrontation, the manner he produces realism in this film, confronting these two modes of representation and reproduction of reality. And that's why I think the music's so important. You know, it brings different classes into the same space and same frame, let's say, this way.
And Matthias, your article focuses on Parisian filmmaker Vincent Moon. I'm wondering if you can enlighten us on his connection to Brazil.
That's an interesting question. Vincent Moon, he's a director that kind of grew up in this digital era where music, where video platforms were just starting on the internet. So in 2005, when YouTube was starting, together with a couple of friends in Paris, they started this project called Blogotech, where they were trying to force these musicians that at the time were these upcoming indie musicians from the music industry, to force them into this very unusual situations and also force the filmmaker itself into the place where no one knows what comes out of it. So it was this very improvisational method that was kind of systematized by him at this point of time. And after a while, he got kind of tired of the music industry and decided to start traveling around the world. And this is an interesting part where Brazil comes in, because from the 10 years that he passed from 2010 to today, 2020, Brazil was one of the places that he visited the most and that also gave, produced most of his films were here in Brazil. But his connection is also, I think, a deeper one, because one of his influences, that is Pierre Barou, that came to Brazil in the end of the 60s and early 70s, also a French director that helped spread and popularize bossa nova and Brazilian music in France and Europe. They have a very strong connection. And I compare in my article how Vincent Moon kind of goes a step further, also accepting his ignorance of the theme and using this as a form of a powerful method to actually research what is happening, what is going on while he is filming. So I relate this with the intermedial process on how in Vincent Moon, he kind of systematizes a process that is more akin to maybe jazz or improvisational music, or even partido alto, and also hip hop. I think it can be a very interesting example of, improvisational and how this kind of musical process can also fit inside a filmmaking process. And these connections with Pierre Barou are very strong. And to kind of explore this, I talk about three of his films. Of the 93 that he produced in Brazil, I selected three of his films that I think connect really well with the film Saravá that Pierre Barou produced here in Brazil.
Now, music performance seems to play a key role in Brazilian cinema. Why do you think this is the case?
Well, I think, in fact, it's interesting because improvised music and music is very important in the papers that are discussed here today. So music is important in all of them. It's important in Flavia's paper, in Marcela's paper, in Mateus' paper, and my paper as well. And as I said, improvised music is important in three of them, in Marcela's and Mateus' and mine, or improvised, or this kind of, not exactly improvised, but a kind of music that in a way changes the way the cinematographer is filming that specific scene. But to answer your question, I think that it's the fact that Brazilian music is so important. It has to do a lot with identity, because Brazilian music was something that was used in the first decades of the 19th century, of the 20th century, sorry, as a way to to create a kind of national identity. It was something that was used by the Getúlio Vargas dictatorship, and in fact, it brings together many different things that create in a way Brazilian identity, which is Portuguese culture, African culture, the Indian culture, the indigenous culture that was in Brazil before colonization. And also, and Luis Tatit suggests in an interview that we include in this issue of Alphaville, is the fact that a lot of people in Brazil were illiterate for a long, long, long time. So popular song was really the way in which you could talk to everybody in the country, from the elite to the lower class people. And this, in a way, made the popular song to be so important in in Brazil. So of course it has to do with identity, it has to do with a kind of, and it also has to do, it has to do with identity, and it also has to do with a kind of communication that goes across different social strata. But probably Mateus, Flavia, or Marcela, who are Brazilian and they have grown up with that, probably they have like more accurate visions of that.
Yeah, concerning the chanchadas, I think music furnished the structure of the fiction. So the musical numbers were chosen related to the industrial and radio structure, and the plot was put between the music. So one thing is important to say that it was even common for directors' names to be omitted from the chanchada's publicity displays, while singers and musicians were often included alongside the actors' names. This was much more important than the plot, the story. So it was a film with Linda Batista singing and people went to the cinema to sing along. So this was much more important than follow the plot. So up to the end of the 50s, this was the structure of the mixing between music and cinema.
I would like to add also that I think that music in Brazil is one of the most important cultural projects we have. Like MPB, the Brazilian popular music, is widely known, not only in Brazil, but internationally. And I think this also grants the presence of artists from music in films, like in chanchadas. It was full of, you know, singers, and, you know, they have this two job of, they actually were from music and they start to be actors. Something very common also in Hollywood, because they also use this star system to promote. But like in O Invasor, for instance, we have Paulo Miklos as the main character. He was a singer. He hadn't acted before, you know, so using a figure very known from music, because he's from a very known rock band named Titãs. So he was a very interesting figure for Beto Brant to work with, you know, and he comes from music. So I think music is a very important cultural product. And not only that, as Albert said, it has to do with our identity. Music's connected to carnival, is also connected to capoeira and to candomblé. It's connected to, you know, the other, there is the regional identities connected to music.
I think it's very interesting because it seems that music, in what, when being inserted in the films, it's kind of a space to break this rationality of the vision. You know, it kind of brings this more bodily experience, this more sensuous experience that I think that, as Marcela talked about, is it's very connected to Brazilian identity. And it kind of goes from breaking apart this very rational experience of having a plot, of having something that that kind of creates a very linear story and a very reactive normal from the audience, and gives the audience also a place to react more emotionally to what is happening.
I think there is also a technical aspect that music in Brazil has developed much more the technical, you know, recordings and studios, more than films and other arts. I think in the 70s, we already have like very good studios with good quality to record sound. But film was not like this, you know. I remember in the 80s and still on 90s, we had this very poor sound quality. And I remember when Central Station by Walter Salles, he went to Los Angeles to make the sound mixing, you know, sound editing, because he didn't have proper studios here to do so, you know. Music as an industry has reached a quality much higher than, you know, film or other arts, even TV before. So it was much easier to reach people. And also because music goes through radio and other, you know, easier technologies to reach the mass population, you know, different from film, different from TV. So I think this is also a very important element to add to this discussion.
I think here is important to highlight as well a thing that is said by in another of the interviews in the issue, which is an interview to Christian Pasquale, the former director of Brazilian Inedit Festival, which is the music documentary film festival. He says that Brazil is a big exporter of music. So Brazil produces a music that is exported worldwide. And Tom Jobim, Vinicius de Moraes, Caetano Veloso, all of them are very well known worldwide, while the Brazilian filmmakers are known worldwide, but only by, you know, cinephiles and so on, or you know, maybe Fernando Meirelles or Walter Salles, but not anybody else. So it's so Brazil really has a music that works internationally. And I don't know if the origin of that is in maybe 1930s and 40s when Carmen Miranda, you know, traveled to Hollywood, and then some of her songs were popularized internationally because they became popular here in Spain as well, for example. And obviously, you know, maybe that was the first moment, but then after that, Bossa Nova was popular in the whole world. Tropicália was popular in the whole world. So I think this internationalization of Brazilian music is important for the fact that that music maybe has had this stronger industry in Brazil. But apart from that is the fact that music is very closely linked to Brazilian identity, which is the thing that, and to Brazilian people, to all Brazilian people, which is something that we were discussing before.
Brazilian music, especially Brazilian popular music, had a very interesting exchange, you know, of influences with international, with worldwide artists, you know. So I think film is also has this very, you know, it starts later than music to be known internationally. You know, Flavia, please correct me if I'm wrong.
I was thinking about one of the musical numbers I analyzed in the article, because it's a samba singer singing, and the decoupage, the edition, is very static. But there is no problem with that, because people wanted to sing along and not pay attention to the decoupage or the fluency of narrative or so. So at that time, all filmed were dubbed, so there wasn't this problem with sound that Marcela mentioned. So music, loud, people singing, and between the musical numbers, some story or some comedy. And this was important too, because these actors came from the Teatro de Revista and they were very good actors. But the structure is like cut. So I think in the up to the 50s, this was the question.
One more thing is that from the 80s or 90s on, I think we have a more diversified culture in Brazil. Like, we have more influence from outside also, but I think we produced more things like the hip-hop. Hip-hop comes from the 80s, you know? So I think also music became more diverse, you know? So the heterogeneity of music is also important to understand that, you know, it changed the scenario also for films. So you start having a lot of films not only based on samba or marchinhas or, you know, one kind of one genre of music only. So music is becomes very important also as an aesthetics, identities, you know. So I think that's how music also plays a very important, not only music, but the whole music, you know, elements, you know, singers, the songs, the lyrics. Like, for instance, just to say, Vinicius de Moraes was a poet, not a musician, but I mean, like, he produces many lyrics for music, you know? So what I'm saying is music's a very strong element in our culture, definitely, but it just becomes more like variated, diversified after, I think, 80s or, you know, because we have more influences. And still, it's a very strong element for us to of expression, you know, culturally.
What I think it's interesting is that when Bossa Nova appears, the chanchadas disappear. So these more traditional rhythms were more connected to this kind of music. And Cinema Novo and Bossa Nova and the television come and chanchada disappear because of these other qualities of Bossa Nova, the improvisation and the realism. Realism was not an issue for chanchadas. It was the wonder world of Brazilian music. So I think the 60s mark a very important difference and turning point in cinema and also in music.
You've been listening to a roundtable discussion on the field of intermediality studies in Brazilian cinema. This podcast is produced with each new issue of the Alphaville Journal of Film and Screen Media. Alphaville is a fully peer-reviewed open access online journal edited and published by staff, PhD and postdoctoral researchers in film and screen media at University College Cork, Ireland. This podcast, along with every back issue of the journal, can be found at alphavillejournal.com. Thank you to all our contributors, and thank you for listening.